So we are going to get started. On Wednesday nights, we do deep end here for some of my friends and family that came, which right now we're kind of centered around prayer. So I went to Mr. Rob and I was like, hey, I'd like to kind of share my testimony. And he was like, okay, how about Wednesday? And I said, okay. So that's kind of what I'm going to do. And with praying about things and kind of sharing my struggle and what I went through, I kind of felt like just to be 100% authentic and honest and tell you exactly the struggles that I had and the things I battled while battling cancer. It wasn't just cancer. It was a big spiritual fight. So I'm just going to kind of jump into that, if that's good with everybody here. So, you know, because my biggest thing is we all have problems. And I'm going to read a scripture before I get started because I'm really nervous. I haven't spoken in front of anybody since I had brain surgery and a stroke. So this is a big stepping out of my comfort zone, other than like one-on-one. This is the first time. So I'm going to read something that kind of goes along with it. And it's Joshua 1:9. It says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And so I got to thinking about things. And, you know, we all have problems, and everyone's is different. Some people have financial problems, which, by the way, plug, we have a great class that Rob and Michelle teach for Crown Financial Services. You know, we have problems in our relationships. We have problems with our health. We have problems at our work, in our job environments. We even have problems that come up constantly with our past that we may fight ourselves. So, you know, the list of everybody's problems can just keep going on and on. But our outlook plays a really big part in how we endure problems, especially as Christ followers. How do we continue through each day and honestly say that God has given us, as it says in 2 Peter 1, God has given us everything for life. How can we say God has given us everything for life when we're fighting these problems constantly? And so that's kind of what I'm going to talk about, why I simultaneously share my testimony. So the thought, as a Christian and grew up as a church kid, I don't know if anybody else did, but God has given us everything for life, you know. There's no weapon formed against me that should prosper. I can tell you that stuff all day long, and that sounds great until you're right in the middle of what Pastor Jeff calls stuff. You've got a lot of stuff coming up in your life, and it makes it harder. But one thing that I started doing to try not to live in fear was to start going by God's promises, because there is one after another, after another, after another promise in the Bible. And I'm going to read a few of them to you guys throughout this. But and I would literally walk around my house and I would pray over our house and pray over things. And I would speak these promises out loud, because to me, by speaking them out loud, it made the promises more real than my circumstances. So the first thing I'm going to read to you guys is the one that I probably read the most, which is Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. And I have really bad eyes, so sorry. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts in your mind in Jesus Christ. And I got to thinking about that. And so much of what we deal with in our problems is not always a heart problem. It can be, but a lot of times it's a mind, it's a mental game that we play with ourselves by letting fear and doubt creep in. So the question that I had to ask myself as I was kind of preparing for this and things that I have going on in my own life still to this day is, am I speaking doubt or am I speaking faith? I was reading James 5:16, preparing for this, and I realized that, you know, prayer works, and there are, it's right there in James, you know, prayer works, we can go to God, we can ask, there it is. But at the same time, how real are you being with God? How much are you really laying out, and how much control are you willing to actually give him of this situation? Because if you can't give it all to him, then you're not giving any of it to him for him to really be able to work. Because that's what he asked. He asked to have an intimate one-on-one relationship where we can come to him in prayer. We can tell him our needs. And then we begin to stand on the promises that he's given us and then speak those out in our lives. And that's how he'll fulfill them, is for us to claim those. I'm not a name it, claim it person, but I do believe in speaking God's word over my life. So, you know, prayer, you have to be engaged on a personal level for that to really reach God's ears. It can't just be, hey, Jesus, it's me again. You know, I really wanted this to happen for me, and it's not. Thanks, love you, bye. You know, you can't just tell him what you want. I mean, you can, but a lot of times he desires intimacy. That's why we were created, is God desired to have that relationship. And so there were a few times that, you know, I've questioned myself with these things. But, you know, I kind of, as you hear my testimony, there may be things that you are like, okay, well, she should know that God can pretty much see you through just about anything. But still daily, I struggle with some of that stuff. I think as a human, I kind of get like, just being myself, I get like this tunnel vision about things where, you know, I focus on so much what's right in front of me, and we do need to live day by day, and we have to do that sometimes, but I get this tunnel vision of forgetting what's behind me and what I've come through, and so I really struggle with that, and I had to kind of think about things and just kind of remind myself, even while I was going through stuff, to speak out loud, like I said before, many times, the promises that God's given us, you know, to speak those promises and to not speak in doubt, but to speak and live. And as Pastor Jeff taught in the series that he did, the Burn It, Dig It, Gather It, I can't remember the other one, that's really bad, but, you know, to live with ridiculous faith. So I'll go ahead and start telling you a little bit about me and my story. So in July of 2013, I was diagnosed with brain cancer. I was also 5 months pregnant. So at this point is where I really started to battle myself, and I started to question my faith. I even thought a few times that if I didn't have faith, then maybe I didn't even really have a relationship with God like I thought I did. And that's hard. I mean, when you feel like you're in a good place with God and then you get knocked on your feet or off your feet and you're kind of wondering, how do I get back up? Because I'm asking God why and asking him to do it, but I don't know that I believe that it's going to happen like that. You know, because sometimes, unfortunately, when you've grown up as a church kid, Bible stories tend to seem like stories. Sometimes you don't realize how much truth is in them. And so I really had a hard time, you know, and if I didn't have that faith and I couldn't have Christ-like faith, then who was I really modeling my life after? And that, like I said, it was a battle for me for a long time. And then a young man came to the church that I was going to at the time in Springfield, and he didn't even speak English. He had to have an interpreter speak at our church. And I'll never forget it, because what he had said and what he pointed out was that questioning God didn't mean that I didn't have faith or that I didn't have a strong relationship with God, because he started pointing out, if you look at John the Baptist, he questioned when he was facing death and in prisons, is Jesus the Messiah? Are you really the Messiah? Are you really the one true living God? You know, he questioned that. He baptized Jesus. I'm pretty sure he knew who he was, probably better than I do. But, you know, and even I was thinking today as I was trying to get all my notes together. You know, if you think about it, even Jesus, who was the one perfect one, questioned God for a brief moment on the cross and said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Because that moment seemed so dark. So that doesn't mean that I have lost my faith, that I've lost my relationship with God. It just means I have to make a conscious effort to make my mind kind of reroute things a different way. And so when I was diagnosed with that, like I said, it was a constant battle. I just, at that point in my life, couldn't see the big picture. What was God's plan in all this? I didn't see it. It was just so much heartache at that point. There were so many unknowns and questions that it was hard. So then in August of 2013, I had my first surgery, and it was up at OSU. They were supposed to go in and do what they call a stereotactical biopsy, which is like this little hole, 20 minutes in, out, you're done. I woke up 4 hours later in the operating room. And being a nurse, of course, I wake up in the operating room, and the doctor's screaming, and there's just chaos everywhere. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, do my hands move? That's good. My feet move. Okay. So then my next question was, how's the baby? And they're like, everything's fine. So I went through that, and actually the results were better than what they expected. The MRIs showed that it was one tumor, and literally you went from a grade 2 of having like great prognosis to a grade 3 to having like 6 to 10 years. And it can move that quick. And here I am pregnant with all these hormones feeding my brain. So I'm like, I've got to figure this out. I know it's a hard decision, but I've prayed really hard, and I know that I've got to be here for both my kids. I got to make sure I get this one that's in my belly here safe, but I have a 6-year-old that needs me. You know, she is not, I've never not been in her life. I can't say that she's had everybody present all the time, but I've never not been here for her. So I felt that need. So then in November of 2013, I had Cole. He was a month early. He was 4 pounds, 10 ounces, 18 and a quarter inches long. Because of all the steroids, I had intrauterine growth restrictions. So he was extra, extra tiny. He literally, I was talking to a friend today, and I was like looking at pictures, and I'm like, he literally looked like, you know how when, no offense, guys, you get older and you lose those muscles and they just kind of like have that wrinkly little old skin. They're still little skinny guys, but they have that wrinkly little old skin. That is what Cole looked like. He looked like that little old guy that just had just skin hanging. He was so tiny. But, you know, I had to be put under for a emergency style C-section. So my husband did get to be there. I had no clue what was going on. So very groggy in the recovery room. I guess I repetitively asked, is he okay? Is he breathing? Does he have hair? Until finally they brought him in. And so, and at that time, I just felt relief. I felt like it was one less hurdle to get through. And, you know, but looking back, I can remember how many sleepless nights I spent up just begging God, praying, pouring out my heart and begging him, please just let me have my baby, make it here and in my arms safe. And, you know, looking back, like I said, trying not to have that tunnel vision, looking back now, you know, I know, and there were many sleepless nights, please trust me, because I was pregnant and on steroids, like large amounts. So this was a constant thing. But I look back and, you know, that was that tunnel vision thing. I just couldn't see what God had given to me. And it wasn't even something he had to do, but it was something I had asked. He could have spent the first 3 months of his life, which would have been the first 3 months I had to hold him at all, because I couldn't for a very long time after that, in NICU. But I didn't. I had 3 months at home bonding with him. And that's something I will forever be grateful, because again, it wasn't what I needed. It's what I had asked God for, because he gave me the desires of my heart, not just what I needed to get through life. And so then in February 2014, I had my second brain surgery. And by that time, I had to wait 3 months after I had coal to heal to have that surgery. And so my tumor, and if I don't ever remember your name or I just zone out, I have a good reason. The tumor that they removed from my head was literally the size of a racquetball. So sorry in advance, a little forgetful at times. But they had thought that I'd had a stroke that had at least paralyzed my left side of my face, my left arm, and possibly my whole left side. And so as I began to wake up, they realized my legs moved fine, both, and I had good feeling in both of them. And then I slowly gained back strength in my arm. I was just left with a little droop on one side, which with therapy and stuff, I was able to work through. You couldn't understand a word I said, and it was really funny to watch me eat for a while because everything just fell out. But I can, they told my family, like, be prepared. She probably won't know who you are. She may not even know why she's here. And I can tell you in what order everybody walked in. I was sitting up. I was talking. I knew who they were. And so, again, it wasn't just what I needed. God exceeded and listened to not just my prayers, but the prayers of my family members, too. And for me, in the same stance, by being able to have my left arm, I was still limited. I couldn't lift more than 5 pounds for 6 months. I couldn't bend over past my heart. So I couldn't wash my daughter's hair. I couldn't hold my three-month-old without somebody helping me. But I could still change his diaper with help. I could still hold his bottle. I had two working arms, which they said I wasn't going to have. So that in itself, again, like I said, it's not just what I needed. It was the desires of my heart that God gave me. Sorry, my iPad keeps shutting off. I also forgot to mention, I was able to finish nursing school, and pass my boards before my first major surgery. Again, those were my desires. And then things seemed to start getting better. My energy was getting better. Things were doing great. And I felt like I had the rug pulled out from underneath me again. I started having seizures. I didn't know what was going on. So then in May of 2015, we found out that my brain cancer was back. And this time the difference was it was an area of my brain that they couldn't do surgery. And so it was inoperable. So I was very limited on choices and how to handle it. And so I began treatment. I did radiation 5 days a week, and I took a chemo pill 7 days a week, which with two kids equals no energy. It is not easy. My mom and my family really kind of jumped in and kept things going down to laundry. So it was great to have that system. But after I finished those treatments, the doctor told me, you know, we're going to have to give your brain some time to kind of heal. You've got a lot of swelling from the radiation. It's got to calm down before we can make heads and tails of anything. Because I was, of course, very anxious to find out what now. Because their goals that they had said when we started treatment was, our intent is to stabilize this tumor and just try and keep it from growing because it's in your motor cortex, which is going to affect pretty much every aspect of your life. It'll affect your speech, you know, your motors, any motor skills, gross to major motor skills, everything was going to be affected. And so it was just, we just want to stop it. And if it shrinks, we have a party. And so I finished all that. I did my MRI, I think it was that November of 2015. And it showed no cancer, no tumor. However, the doctor didn't tell me this because he couldn't believe it. He thought for sure it was wrong. So then in December, he sent me back to have a second MRI. And in January is when, and not that in that in-between time, because November to January, when you're waiting to find out if you have to do this again, is a long time. Especially when you really don't want to have to do it again. It really, really, it sucks. For lack of better words, there's no way of getting around it. But my mind automatically, even after What I've told you so far has happened. My mind automatically jumped to, oh my gosh, it's spread. It's bigger than what they expected. I've got to go have another scan so they can see where all it's at and what I'm going to have to do and how they're going to attack this, because this is just, at this point, I felt like this is just my reality, because if it can fall, it's going to. So that's just what I'm dealing with. And I lived like that for about 2 months. And, you know, that worry, I just let it eat me up. So I had the other MRI in December, and my radiation oncologist, I went and seen him in January, and that's when he explained that he had ordered the second MRI, because their goal was stop this. If it shrinks, this girl's super lucky. So he couldn't believe it when it showed no tumor at all, no cancer at all. And I remember him sitting there looking at me. He's like, you know, kid, I don't know what to tell you. You know, this was not what we expected at all. You know, he said, you know, I told you if it shrank, we would party. So I don't even know where to start. And all I could think is I was crying. And I couldn't stop. And I got a moment of clarity, and I looked at him. And I said, you don't know my God. Because for 3 years we prayed for this. And I had even lost sight of it myself. I'd given up at times. And today you could not convince me otherwise that that was God's healing. In my life, I know it was, because it's not explainable. The type of tumor I have is from a chromosomal deletion that I have. It's a partial deletion. It always happens. They say it always comes back. They say it always comes back in the same spot. Touché, mine didn't. So not only did it not come back in the same spot, and not only do they never go away, but they can't find any cancer in my brain, and a doctor can't explain it to me. And side note, be cautious when you pray for patients, because you don't know how God can kind of see that through. It's not always fun. But, you know, seriously, I mean, I know, like I said, I don't doubt that God performed a miracle in my life, but even with that, I still have doubts that creep in with each blood test, each blood draw, each new screening I have to go through, each scan. That worry starts to eat me up until I get it in check. And I really, like I said, I'm a tunnel vision person. I like things best when I can control them and when I have them planned, and preferably planned my way. Sarah can attest. It's better if it's planned my way, if I get to plan. So, I had to get rid of, like I said, that tunnel vision. That's the best thing I can think to describe it, because what you go through at this moment seems so present, and the problem seems so big, and they can seem overwhelming, and you have to kind of take a step back and be like, okay, I know I don't have the whole picture or the big picture, but I can look back on what's pictured back here, and I can tell you what God can do now. And so the last couple months, God has really pressed this strongly into my heart, and it's to choose, because he did give us free will, to choose to live in faith and not doubt. Because we already know I get tunnel vision. I need to use his promises, not to be so problem-centered. Even in my day, I mean, it's easy to be like, I'm late for work. I did not need this lady to stop at this light when she could have went. It's really easy to be like that. But we don't have the big picture. And like I said, I've really lived that and learned it. We don't know what's down the road. I mean, we really don't. And so for me, this has been something that, even with what I've been through, I've still had to struggle through, is to not be problem-centered. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, there are still days they just stink. I can be completely torn down, and I've called people in this room completely torn down. And it does, it tears me down, but I'm reminded of another promise from God, is that our weeping endures through the night. But Each time the sun rises, it's a promise of new joys from God given in that day. So if you'll just give me a few more minutes, I'm just going to read you a couple verses that are like some of my favorite promises that I used to get me through a hard time. And the first one is Hebrews 10 and 23. It's, "Let us hold fast the confessions, our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Micah 7 and 7 says, "But as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior, because my God will hear me." And 2 Kings 20 verse 5 says, "I have heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, and surely I will heal you." God's really just waiting us, you know, his word is a covenant from him, and he's waiting for us to take it as that. That is his promise. It's a covenant fact that we can have these things no matter what. But the hard part is to realize them, to speak them, and I really believe in speaking them out loud, because I know I probably wouldn't have been able just to be like in a corner praying to myself and believe some of the things that I was speaking. I mean, I don't think I would have believed them, but we also have to return them to him, these promises, in prayer and in faith, which means stepping out and going ahead, speaking this promise, and then praising him for it being in our life. And I think that's one of the most important parts that I even forget. And Luke 1 and 45, and I wrote this down for me, and so it's going to say she, which I'm pretty sure that's not what it said in Luke. But it says, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And I have to constantly remind myself that he's promised these things. They're here waiting for me. And if his word is a living word, then why can't it be living promises in my life? And so after sharing, you know, how Jesus has just completely rocked my world when he's done things that doctors said couldn't happen, I just want to imagine if we all tried to challenge ourselves to change our daily routine, to reroute our minds, or however we're wired. If you're a control freak, yeah, about that. It's not going to work. So you just have to, I have to make a conscious effort to do this on a regular. But if we could challenge ourselves to try and reroute our minds and to speak faith and not fear and to speak God's words, because speak his promises, rather than to just sink in our own problems, to seek him in prayer, to be engaged with God on such a personal level that we have that faith to step up on. And sometimes when you're going through things, I know for me, I had been there and I'd had such faith for other people. But when you're going through it, it's easy to be like, I don't have it in my spirit tonight. I just can't do it. I can't. I'll just let somebody else pray it for me. But we can't do that, because we really have to step up on his word and on his promises and to begin to thank him for not even what he's done, but what he's going to do, even if it doesn't look like the way that we think it should. And that was my downfall. So before we pray, I'm going to read one more verse before we all pray together. Pray where you want in your seat up front. Doesn't matter where you pray. You can pray standing, sitting, do a handstand. I don't really care as long as you're praying. But this is one that when, you know, I have, along this walk, I've met a lot of people that have mentored me, that have been through some of the same stuff. And I've seen a lot of people be changed by it and lives be changed, but I've also lost a lot of people. And getting through that can be really messy too, because we do get angry. I mean, I get pretty angry just driving sometimes, if I'm honest. But, I mean, we do get angry. So this is a verse, it's Lamentation 3 and 28. "So when life is heavy and hard to take, Go off by yourself, enter the silence, bow in prayer, and wait for hope to appear. And that's just another promise from God. So if you guys want to find a place, I appreciate you guys giving me your time and not making me feel quite so nervous after the first, 10 minutes. So thanks, guys.